Hey, son, Svejsan, it's Jorgen Sundberg here with the Employer Branding Podcast, brought to you by Link Humans, London's employer branding agency. This week, it's all about the 2017 edition of the Fortune 500 Top 100 Employment Brands Report. It's a long name, but it's a great report, I promise. Let's start the show. John Wilson, how are you doing?
Great, Aaron. How are you?
Very good. Now, tell us about Wilson HCG and what you do there.
I get the opportunity to lead a really great group of people. Wilson HCG is a global talent firm. Most of our business comes in an RPO. And we really look to impact our clients and grow our people.
And so, Wilson HCG. So Wilson, that's your surname. HCG, what does that stand for?
Human Capital Group.
Ah, okay. All makes sense now. Right. And so you guys have put out a report. So it's a top 100 employment brands report. And I think it's the third year in a row. Could you please just tell us a little bit about this report, the methodology, the scope, and what it's all about?
Yeah, absolutely. So when it was maybe 3.5, 4 years ago, I was sitting in a room and I heard two of our clients debating over who had the better employment brand. And I thought there has to be a way where we could put something out in the market that is has consistency and true ratings that would make sense, that would transcend industries or geographies. And so that was the idea behind it. It's evolved quite a bit over the years. And so we look at a variety of pieces of a company's employment brand, things like their career site, what people are saying about them inside and outside the organization, how they interact with job boards and marketing. And one piece that I think is really interesting and a big effect on employment brands now and I think going forward is the accolades in their corporate and social responsibility just become a really, really key driver in how someone feels about a brand internally and externally.
Great. Okay. So I think you're touching on this already, but what are some of the top line findings for this year's report?
Yeah, we found for a third year in a row, we had three companies that just have consistently done a fantastic job. And further validation for our report was that these three companies, as we've had their report evolve a little bit, as times have changed and drivers have changed, companies like General Mills, Johnson & Johnson, and Goldman Sachs have remained at the top of the list. And that's been interesting for us to see. And I think also we've seen a change from our team and our research team that spends all year going through this is the increased transparency companies are having about what it's like to work in the organization. And we look at the top 10, 15 companies and we start seeing these absolute consistent behaviors within many of these companies. And I think some things that are unique is it's not all the tech brands that everybody thinks, oh, well, I'm sure Google's number one and Facebook's number two. And it isn't the case. It looks to me there's a lot of those 100-year-old companies like a General Electric or P&G that's mixed in with the tech companies like a Salesforce and a Cisco.
Yeah, interesting that. And the report is broken down into, I believe it's about six different sections. So let's look at the first one, which is job boards. What's going on there?
Yeah, I think job boards are still a very typical source for people to learn about companies and to understand what is out there within an organization. We are seeing job boards become a less of a point total when we calculate the entire score than we have in the past. But many of the organizations that I mentioned are doing a very good job. And what I think is unique that any company can do is when you're posting a job for a position, the description of an organization is very different if you are working as a software engineer versus working as an executive assistant or a salesperson. The experience you feel inside that organization is different, and therefore, when describing the company, some of the companies that do the best jobs are the ones that are having descriptions that are indicative of the role and experience somebody will actually have.
Okay, so it shouldn't just be a boilerplate for the whole company. It should be more about the team and the department.
Okay. Absolutely, and yeah, some companies that do that really well is Kellogg, AT&T, UPS. Just do a really good job of being specific to what they're trying to look for.
Great. Okay. And what are you seeing around career sites? What are the trends there?
Yeah, career sites have been the piece of this that we've seen the most growth, where companies are now back to that individualized voice, where the position that you're applying for, many companies are having a video of what the day in the life is, or even videos of the manager who you would be reporting to. Those are just give a candidate a different experience. Second is we're seeing quite a bit more of constant communication with candidates. That feeling that companies every candidate has felt at some point where they're lost in some cloud somewhere and no one's ever going to see their resume. But having the ability to communicate right on career sites with a recruiter or with someone who can give you answers is something that we've seen organizations do and do it very well. And we've seen really some of the healthcare companies, Humana being one of them, do a fantastic job with that communication.
Great. Okay. And next up, accolades.
Yeah. As I mentioned earlier, this is something that companies don't talk, they don't brag enough about them from an employment brand standpoint. They sure do when they're trying to sell you their service, mm-hmm. but they don't necessarily of what it's like to work there or what they've done in the community or from a charitable standpoint, or as it relates to diversity and inclusion. The companies that have scored really well there for us were Goldman Sachs, GE, AT&T, Target, Salesforce, all did a very good job.
So essentially, there are stories to be told, but they're not being told in an HR sense.
So. Yeah, absolutely. I can say for me personally, one of the most impactful employment branding pieces I've ever seen was maybe 8 or 9 years ago, and I was picked up in New York Times, and Goldman Sachs had taken a 2-page ad out, and they had people from all different parts of the world, all different walks of life, background, ages, ethnicities, and told a quick four sentence story about each one of them over their heads in the middle of the New York Times. And I thought if there was ever a company you wanted to work for, and that you could see how important diversity and inclusion was to them, it was that. It was impactful to me to this day.
Well, so they say we're people, we're not a blood-sucking vampire squid. Okay.
That is exactly it.
Great. Okay. Around CSR, does that tie in with accolades as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's just been, again, really organizations that are showing their commitment to the community and in a lot of ways doing the right thing.
Okay, great. And recruitment marketing, which is on the up and up, what can you see there?
Absolutely, and it's funny. We were joking internally that some of the companies that made our list were probably some of the best consumer marketers as well. Mm. When we think of Johnson & Johnson and Visa and General Motors, AT&T, very good consumer marketers that have really understood how to translate that from a candidate perspective. And this is things from your from Twitter, Facebook, how they're watching what you're seeing online, and really how they're trying to position the opportunity in the organization by telling different stories to different folks.
Yeah. Okay. And that's interesting. Now, I guess it also touches on the candidate experience, something that we've touched on a lot on this podcast. What can you see there happening with these top in best in class companies?
Candidate experience, and we talk about this internally a lot, is that I ask a question sometimes in meetings when I'm with senior executives and they're not understanding how important candidate experience is. And I'll ask them, would you be in this boardroom today if the first company you applied for and interviewed with kept talking to you, even though you didn't get the job? And it spurs a lot of thought, because especially when you're a large consumer brand, having a good candidate experience is critical, because it really truly affects your bottom line. And the other point is, we have, at least I can speak, there are numbers that just came out yesterday in the United States where we are at the lowest unemployment we've been at in over a decade. And it is, you have to continue the conversation with the people that are your potential clients, if you're a consumer brand, and also the ones that are your future employees, that maybe they're not the right person for today, but they could be the right person in a year or 2 years. And if that person is a bad candidate experience, they are not going to let themselves be the right person for a role at your organization if it hasn't been a good experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember for myself being in the staffing game back in the day, I would, when a junior candidate applied, I would always make sure that I got to know them and connected up with them on LinkedIn and so on, because you never know, that person in 3 years' time, they might be the most placeable candidate ever, or they can turn into a client as well. So for sure.
Absolutely.
Okay. Right. And I'm just interested in the methodology behind this. So you have a number of different categories, and how do you score the companies, and how do you award the winners?
Yeah, great question. There is a really robust research team that spends, as I mentioned, all year going through this and looking at the different categories to validate not only what our categories are, but the validation of how an organization is performing. So it evolves. We are very, very static in an annual report, but from 1 year to the next, those change. And what we do is we talk to a lot of, we get quite a few downloads of this report, and then we have the companies that have been listed, or the ones that are wondering why they're not. The communication that goes back and forth really starts to enhance what is important to the companies that are out there positioning their brand, and then talking with candidates, hiring managers in the overall market, to make sure that we have the right criteria for the following year.
So it's a big undertaking then.
It is. It's significant amount of man hours, that is for sure. A lot of hard work goes into it. And then post it coming out, it is probably equally as many conversations that happen with companies that maybe aren't listed, but really want to understand how their scorecard breaks down. Which we do for companies all the time, to see how they benchmark against a company like General Electric or Johnson & Johnson.
Yeah, okay. So who is the overall winner then for 2017?
For the first year, we had a tie, which was between Johnson & Johnson and General Electric. We hadn't had that happen before. But they, when the points came in, they were a tie, and we were thinking, how anticlimactic that there isn't a true winner. But, we couldn't have moved away from the ethics around the reporting and making sure that we were in tune with what we went to market with.
And if we look at, let's say, the top five or the top 10 companies there, what seems to be best practice across these top-ranked employers?
A few things. One is the authenticity, where it is the employee's voice, And through their marketing, through reviews, et cetera, it is, they're not hiding the things that aren't great there. They're saying, this is our challenges and this is how we're getting over them. Or the people who have want to speak on that brand, they let them. It's very interesting to see. We have a there was a client, Stryker, a medical manufacturer that was 13th on the list. And a couple of years ago, I'd met their head of talent, and he said, I don't understand why we're placing so badly. And they weren't. They were 40 or 45. And it really was that there wasn't enough voice of the employee. It felt a little like marketing drove it versus that's truly what the company is. And they made a huge leap. And a lot of it was that there's so much authenticity from the from their workforce.
Well, okay. And can you see any typical pitfalls with employer branding? Something that that companies need to avoid?
Yes. Real quick, back to authenticity. Don't create a brand. And this is sometimes when marketing is too involved versus HR and the employee voice, you start seeing a message that really it looks like stock photos of everybody with big smiles on their face and shaking hands. The people can see right through that. And I think that's something that is key, and it's an absolute pitfall. The second is companies have to have a long-term strategy on this. It's not something that changes overnight. But it is and when it happens short-term, and you can see companies where they'll invest an enormous amount of money to really improve it because they're on a hiring kick or there's increased budget. But it almost has to happen organically with an organization, with pushing certain pieces, but just encouraging the voice of the people who work there and have a true understanding of what the brand is. They're the ones that make it up.
Okay, great. And apart from the companies up on the podium, are there any particular companies who've climbed a lot in the rankings that we can all learn from?
There's quite a few that have made some significant moves. The MassMutual was one of them that just had a significant jump. Others, we've seen 3M do very well. Salesforce jumped pretty high this year. As I mentioned, Stryker have just done a great job of committing and seeing their brands move. Also, Delta Airlines done very well. McKesson, Oracle, and I think one of the big leapers that was in the has been in the top 15 all 3 years, but it continues to climb a little bit every year, is Cisco. And their employment brand, I was looking at something there the other day for a friend, and I was really impressed with what I saw on their site.
Great. Okay, so if we look into the crystal ball, what do you think we'll see in this report on the 2018 edition?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think there's going to be more focus on regional rather than just a one global, because we see companies like GE that their technology side is this very innovative and almost reminds you of a tech company versus the manufacturing side. So seeing role-specific and region-specific branding is going to be – we're absolutely looking at that. And we're seeing that is giving the most success for organizations. But as I said, it continues to evolve. I think we're going to start seeing a little bit more from a freelancer or gig employment brand. How does that look? Uber's a good example of how they've really branded to the freelancer and gig community.
Okay, great. So where can people connect with yourself, John, find out more about the company, and of course, download the report?
Sure. Twitter, it's at Wilson CEO. Our website's wilsonhcg.com, and they will have the report on there, and they could download it and connect with me anytime.
Thank you very much, John Wilson.
Thank you. I really appreciate you, Arm.
All right. I hope that was useful. Everything John and I discussed will, of course, be in the show notes article, which you'll be able to find at employerbrandingpodcast.com. Now, did you know that just like our friends at Wilson HCG here at Link Humans, we're passionate about helping companies tell authentic stories and building employer brand. Our focus is actually on talent attraction for challenger brands. So if your company's not in the top 100 list put out by John and his team, get in touch and we'll have a chat about the options. If you'd like to get in touch with me, just feel free to send me an email at jorgen@linkhumans.com. That's it for this week. Many thanks for tuning in and catch you next time. Hey, Dom.
What is something that you have, but you very rarely use?
No idea.
Your name.